In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Mighty Manfred with you again for our Coolest Conversations podcast in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening. Please follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Zeke Weakling, a.k.a. Bob Berger. He's one of the guitarists in the Asbury Park, New Jersey-based band The Weaklings. Now, they're known primarily for doing obscure Beatles covers and original material in a very Beatly way. Their third album on Gem Records is out now and is titled 3, as in the number. And the title track also serves as the coolest song in the world. So let's hear some of that first, and then I'll follow with Zeke on the line for your Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
She gets me up, and just like that she puts me down. She turns me inside out whenever she's around. She's like a force of nature, flashback laser, cuts me to the ground, got me down. Every time that girl walks by, break my heart in three.
Back with the Mighty Manfred, and I am ready to get our Coolest Conversations underway. And joining me today is Zeke Weakling, a.k.a. Bob Berger. He's one of the guitar players in the Asbury Park, New Jersey-based band The Weaklings. How are you, Zeke?
I am awesome, Manfred. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm very happy to be chatting with you again. You know, it was back in, I think, 2016, shortly after the release of your album Studio 2, which was recorded at the famed Abbey Road Studio 2. The new album is simply titled 3, but it's got a couple of tracks on it from those two sessions. Is In the Moment one of those?
Yeah, definitely. We recorded In the Moment at Abbey Road Studio.
And which others?
I Want You Again, Running Away, there's at least four or five. When we recorded at Abbey Road, we recorded a lot of tracks, and we left some on the table that we didn't want to put on the Studio 2, because not that they weren't as good as songs, they're actually in some cases better, but they were just different character, and we wanted to save them for the next record.
Well, speaking of Running Away, you made a really cool video for that. And one of the gals in it, I'm guessing her name is Mariana.
Yeah.
Is that her?
Yeah.
She also appears in your video for the new track, I Want You Again. Who is she, and how did she become a Weaklings fan?
Well, she's associated with the videographer.
Okay.
They're an item. And so, you know, he took the bull by the horns and just said, okay, I'm going to go out and run this, make these videos with Mariana, and we loved them. They came out great. First, in Running Away, we're hardly in the video. She's the star, and then in the second one, we kind of share it, where we have the scenes where we're sort of blinged out like we're in Vegas. And I have my shirt open all the way, and I'm wearing gold chains and stuff, so kind of cool.
Well, right. I mean, in Vegas, the shirt has to come open all the way.
Yeah. Well, if you can do it.
You can do it. And so... oh, gosh, your drummer there, Smokestack.
Smokestack.
So he's got the big giant dollar sign. That's some heavy-duty bling to wear, but then I figured, yeah, like you said, it's in Vegas. It's looking good.
It is. It's actually pretty out of character for the Weaklings, but we're playing along for the sake of the video.
So the new album, 3, opens with that cut, I Want You Again. You mentioned tracks being recorded, you know, a couple of years ago at Abbey Road Studio 2. These newer tracks, when did you record them and where?
Well, the ones at Abbey Road were recorded at this, you know, at that time, but we, you know, did additional overdubs and obviously mixed them in 2019. We also did this album in stereo, whereas the previous two albums were all done in mono, which so was a different sonic approach. The other songs, a lot of them were recorded different places. We recorded some at the Lake House in Asbury Park, and also House of Vibes in Highland Park, New Jersey.
Oh, familiar with that place. That's the Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt Ryle of the group Gripweeds, and he engineered it, and he's a great guy and was very, very helpful. He also mastered the final mixes, Punchelio at 17th Avenue Productions.
So the new album's title track, 3, it's also this week's coolest song in the world. Who's playing that single note guitar figure on it?
That's Rocky Weakling. And I'll note that song was one that was recorded at Daryl's House Club in Pawling, New York. So we kind of recorded all over the place. But it's a fantastic venue, and they have state-of-the-art recording equipment there because that's where they do the Daryl's House show. So we took advantage of that and recorded up there. And Rocky's got the main riff in that. Rocky, that was his riff, and that was really the genesis of the song. We love the riff.
Oh, me too. And also I love the way the backing vocals work throughout the song, especially those Break My Heart bits. I'm always a sucker for call and response stuff. Who wrote that song?
Three of us. Like I said, Rocky's riff and then Lefty, a.k.a. Glenn Burtnick, wrote the kind of started putting together the song. The Break My Heart in 3 thing was his idea.
Yeah.
And then as very common, the song was left in a state of incompletion, and I added everything else that needed to polish it up, which wasn't a lot. Those guys really did a lot.
So I've read that he's typically the starter and you're typically the finisher. So this one kind of falls into that realm as well.
It does, yeah. And like I said, Rocky, a.k.a. John Marjavi, was the starting point.
Very cool. Well, last year you guys released your version of the Easy Beats tune Friday on My Mind as a single. It's on this new album. It features Peter Noon from Hermits Hermits on the lead vocals. What was it like working with him?
Peter's awesome. I mean, it was great working with him. I mean, he did a terrific job. We were really impressed with the way he handled the vocal on that song. And we saw Peter just last weekend. We did a gig with him down in Hagerstown, Maryland. We wanted him to sing the song with us on stage, and wasn't sure if he wanted to do that. And he came up to us before the show and said, "Would it be okay if I sang with you guys?" I said, "Yeah, it's okay."
Very cool.
Peter's great. Funny guy, too. Really funny.
Yeah. Well, assuming you can't get Paul or Ringo to contribute to a future Weaklings album, what other British Invasion era performers would you like to work with if you can?
Oh, boy. I think Paul and Ringo would be great. But we haven't really put any thought into it, honestly, as to who else. But, we're big fans of the whole era. And we've met some of the guys from Vanilla Fudge. We've met Mark Lindsay, and who knows, maybe those guys, they're American, but, you know, they're certainly the right time period. We haven't put any thought into it, but I'm sure we'll try to pull something out of our hat.
All right, well, now I've planted the seeds, so I'll let you water and nurture.
Yeah.
Well, before we spoke today, I looked back over my notes from the last time that we had chatted in 2016, and I'd asked you then about how you met Lefty. But you know what? I did not ask you about any of your personal stories. So I know you live in New Jersey, but you're not from there originally, right?
No, I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, moved to New Jersey, during the 80s, and because there's a lot more going on here than there is in Erie. But Erie was a really unique growing up experience, and I had a lot of musical adventures there. I played, back then we used to play 5-6 nights a week, and I really cut my teeth learning how to play.
Was your first instrument a saxophone?
I guess technically, I don't remember it. I was only 4, because my dad was a sax teacher. But the first instrument I remember playing was piano when I took piano lessons at about 6,
uh-huh.
And then I played trumpet when I was maybe 10, 11, and I started playing guitar about the same time and switched to bass when I was about 12 or 13 and played bass for a lot of years, and then I switched back to guitar.
So you mentioned it being unique growing up in Erie. What was unique about it?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many weird things happen in Erie, and it's such a unique place that it's hard to even go into. But, you know, it's on the lake, and it's got a beautiful beach, but it rains all the time, and it snows all the time. And so it's kind of a hardship, but it's beautiful and miserable at the same time. And the people there are great. It was, you know, when I grew up, it was kind of a manufacturing town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was tons of all-night venues to play at. You know, we used to play from 12 o'clock till 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, because they had the after-hours clubs, and there was a... It was just, you know, a crazy environment. There's just a lot of characters in the town, stories in the town, you know, murder stories. There's some online now on Netflix. They have a couple stories about the big crazy murders that happened in Erie, the pizza bomber. It's a very colorful and interesting place. I just read a book about it.
Oh, all right, man. It certainly, it provides fertile ground for maybe some songwriting.
Oh, absolutely. I draw on it all the time.
Well, I know you've got songwriting credits with Glenn that include, like, Songs for Sticks, but I was coming across something, and I'm hoping you can straighten me out here. Did you write songs for Donny Iris? I wasn't sure if
it
was...
Well, when I was playing in Erie, my best pal is a guy named Marty Lee, who is now the guitarist for Donny Iris and has been for many years. And so that was my connection there. And you know, we always stayed friends, and I gave some, you know, songs to Donny, and they recorded at least one of my songs, a song called Life After Love. So I know Donny and all those guys well. He's terrific. I got a Pittsburgh connection, you know, from growing up in Erie, and
right.
Also friends with Joe Grushecki of the House Rockers, so played with those guys many times.
Well, do you also have a solo career go on when you're not gigging with the Weaklings?
For sure. I do a lot of shows on my own. I've got several solo records out. I'm trying to squeeze in time for a new solo record. I've got a whole bunch of songs that are not really Weakling songs, but I haven't had the time to record them because they've been so busy. But,
so they're not Weakling songs. How would you describe your solo stuff?
You know, they're less oriented toward the British invasion, although they're still, I mean, everything I write is somewhat influenced by the Beatles and by that period, but, you know, there's some songs that feel right for a band and some songs that don't. You know, Glenn and I wrote a song called Piano at the Bottom of the Elevator Shaft, which is on my most recent solo record, but it's not a Weakling song, you know, the lyrics aren't such that they fit into the mold of what the Weaklings do.
Well, I see from your Facebook page, the Weaklings have got a gig coming up on Friday, February the 21st at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City there in New Jersey. Do you have any other gigs in the works?
Yeah, we're going to be at the Boston City Winery coming up, which is a great venue. And it's hard for me to remember my schedule more than a week out. But, yeah, we're really planning on putting it. We'll be at the Beatle Fest in Jersey City on March 28th. And we really have a lot of plans for May. I'm planning on doing a hard push to do a lot of shows in support of the record.
Oh, cool. Have you played casinos before?
Yeah, we played the Hard Rock several times. We played a casino up in Bethlehem, PA also. You know, it's cool. It's a different kind of a gig, actually. You know, you're not always the main attraction. The gambling is something you got to compete with. But we hold our own, and it's been a lot of fun.
You know, the tune I'd like us to go out on is 765, and it's the new album's closing track. To me, it's got a very Flaming Groovies vibe. How did the song come together?
That song was primarily my song. I wanted to push it in a little different direction. It's kind of got a like Flaming Groovies or like the Rolling Stones kind of vibe to it. It's a blues riff oriented song, which we don't usually do. And you know, wanted to push a little bit outside of the Beatles framework into, you know, into some other stuff. So that's where, you know, and that's why we ended the album with it, like going, well, where are we going next? I'm not sure. You know.
Well, you know, I've loved that. Yeah, you know, so with the Flaming Groovies, I mentioned that. And when you said Rolling Stones, it's, oh, yeah, of course. But that's like that Roy Loney Groovies era as opposed to the later Chris Wilson, you know. So they early on, right, they had more of a Stones kind of vibe going on in there. And yeah, so what comes next? And you mentioned with the new album 3, it's in stereo. So you are, you know, you're not exactly following a Beatles timeline, but you know, there are other things that come along as you go along.
Yeah, you know, as you know, the first bunch of Beatle albums were all mixed in mono, and the stereo versions were an afterthought that the Beatles were not even involved with. It wasn't until the Abbey Road album that they actually mixed themselves in stereo. So, you know, we were doing that, and mixing in mono is a totally different experience. I'd never done it before, and it's you have to find different ways of separating the instruments. You can't do it spatially. You have to kind of do it with frequency. So it was really actually a good learning experience and helpful in getting us to mix the new album in stereo, because we brought that approach into it as well. So and sonically, I think we've really hit some really high notes on this record.
Very cool. Zeke, thanks again for speaking with me today on Our Coolest Conversations.
It was a pleasure, and thank you for your insightful questions.
Well, you're very welcome. Now, let's get that countdown started now with 765. It's the Weaklings off the new album 3 in Little Steven's Underground Garage. And Little Steven's Underground Garage, counting down for us with 765. It's on the new album 3, and that's available from Gem Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Zeke Weakling, a.k.a. Bob Berger, for chatting with me today on Our Coolest Conversations. And thanks as well to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Join me next time around when my guest will be Eddie Spaghetti, frontman for the Super Suckers. That's your next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock, in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.